Militant Grind, the most honorables. Visit militantgrind.com. Elevate your journey towards mental health and wellness by joining the Militant Grind Academy today. Discover a community where growth, support, and transformation await you. Visit www.militantgrindacademy.com.
This William King Hollis is rocking with Militant Grind.
Welcome to the Militant Grind podcast with our guest, Connor Kanin, an Irishman in Chicago known as Irishman Speaks. Connor merges humor with business insights, aiming to improve performance and productivity. An acclaimed author and speaker, he's also Chicago's Humor Speaker of the Year and a dedicated volunteer recognized by President Barack Obama. Today, Connor will share his experience on marketing, engagement, and the power of humor in presentations, all while sharing his journey as a two-time cancer survivor. Get ready for a blend of inspiration and laughter with Connor, who balances his love for Metallica with a knack for captivating stories. Connor, how are you today, sir?
Wow, that's quite an intro. Who is this guy you're talking about?
Yeah, it's crazy to hear about yourself like that, right?
Indeed, yeah, it is. But it's also really critical, though, to make sure that you have a good introduction. It's something I talk about in business as well, and all the podcasts as well, Sherman. The intro and the bio for your podcast is what I was really interested in. And that's the same no matter what business that you're in. But you did that really well. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you. It did take some time. Like, I'm steadily evolving. That's business in itself. Like, we have to steadily innovate. We have to get better, and we have to just keep our best foot forward. And I often tell people that is sometimes you just got to start and then fix the kinks along the way.
Absolutely. Life is just one long journey. And as I say, walking this road here, this is the back road into Chicago, by the way, for your listeners. You trip and stumble a lot of the time, but you just keep on going.
That's a back way? What back way is that?
I live in a place called Naperville, which is about 30 miles west of Chicago. And I know you said you know Chicago. So I tell people, Sherman, that Illinois now is such a bankrupt state that this is the condition of the roads in Illinois.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, yeah. When I visit Chicago, I stay in Cicero.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm like, I stay there and then I bounce around and stuff like that. But yeah, I absolutely love Chicago. That's my second home. That's where my mom is from. And that's where all my family is. So when I go, I have one of the best times ever. Beautiful city.
Yeah, Cicero, I think, was actually Al Capone country. He owned that place, dominated it, I think, when he was around.
Yep, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I assume you are from Ireland, right?
You got it. I've been working on my Chicago accent for 25 years now, Sherman. Nearly nailed, no?
But yeah, you got it like a little bit.
Yeah, indeed. And I actually, it's important for me in one sense, because the brand is Irishman Speaks. As I say, the brand is Irishman Speaks. But, oh, sorry, this side, okay? That's what I do with some of these visual and virtual meetings, the way I just do that. But Irishman Speaks is a powerful brand. Mm-hmm. It allows me to tell good messages, throw a little bit of Irish humor, Irish storytelling, and Irish BS into it as well, like from time to time. But the ultimate idea is to leave people with a smile in the face and a spring in the step.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. So how was it for you growing up in Ireland?
I had a good childhood. I was lucky. We lived in a small little town. Actually, some of your listeners and viewers might know the place is called Middleton. And the best Irish whiskey is called Middleton Whiskey. And Jameson Whiskey is actually distilled there as well. So I was living just about 300, 400 yards away from the distillery that Irish distillers had there. And this was back in the day when the distillery was pretty small. And myself and a few of my friends used to make the security guards' life a misery down at the distillery, because we'd be trying to jump in behind the walls kind of thing. And he'd be coming after us and going, "Kanin, come back here, you little pup, yeah." Now, he would sometimes put an adjective in front of the pup, but we won't do that for your viewers, okay?
Wow, okay. And so, yeah, like I've heard a lot of good things about Ireland. I heard that it was a beautiful state, like a country, and the people there are just very nice. Like I heard you guys have some of the most kindest people ever in Ireland.
Well, there's, I think that's the stereotype, but it's also, I think the stereotype is pretty accurate. The Irish people are very friendly and affable. I'm not saying Americans aren't either, but initially the Irish, I think, are not as introverted when they meet someone. My wife says regularly the thing she really misses from Ireland is the laughter. And you go into, or as we would call it actually in Ireland, the crack. I tell people that Ireland has the best crack in the world, Sherman, and people say, what is he talking about? But actually, in the Irish vernacular, the word crack means fun or having a good time. Quite seriously, when I would go back to Ireland, back in Ireland now in May, I guarantee you that one of the first two comments I'll get from my friends are, hey, Connor, how's the crack? Okay, which means how's it going or what's life like, kind of thing. And it's so, in terms of the word crack, it means fun, having a good time. And Ireland definitely has an atmosphere, a vibe, a friendliness to strangers that you don't get in a lot of areas in this world.
Right, so it had to be like a crazy transition, you going from Ireland to America, where people aren't as open and friendly and loving and things like that.
It was and it wasn't. And the reason why I'm putting it that way is because I was lucky when I came over. The company I was working with at the time was Best Foods Mayonnaise, Hellmann's Mayonnaise. Okay. And the boss we had was an Italian American from New York who was one of the most affable, friendliest, fun guys. He actually used to make Robert De Niro sound like a choir boy, Sherman. Okay.
Oh,
That was
wow.
the way he was. Okay. So we bonded. So the people I worked with actually were really good and friendly, etc. My wife, though, on the other hand, because she came over and she was rattling around the kitchen kind of thing, she wasn't able to get a job because she didn't have a visa at the time. We were legitimate, but she didn't have the visa. I had the visa. And she spent a couple of years really wondering what the heck we were doing here. And she's a wonderful person, affable, friendly, outgoing. And the way she was able to survive it eventually was getting involved in networking and doing volunteer work herself. But it is, we say, you lived in Ireland, so you speak English, etc., and you know all the American ways, etc. You come over, and it's the same for everyone. If you move from LA to Chicago and have never lived in Chicago, you'd have difficulties as well. But coming from one culture to another culture, it can be really challenging. And God help the people who are coming from cultures that are even more different than Ireland is from the United States.
Yeah, that's true. And I moved to Atlanta one time and I had to adjust. People talk different, people use different terms. So it's yeah, like you said, everywhere has like different cultures and you have to respect the culture. You can't go in with your own biases and things like that. You just have to submit and then figure out how you're gonna actually submerge into the culture. So I definitely understand that part. And so what year did you actually move?
I came over in 98, and actually we came over, there's a corporate move, and my wife said she didn't want to be hanging around Ireland on Christmas because she'd only just be really upset. So she said we'll go up, come over just before Christmas. So we came over just before Christmas in 98, and 4 days after we came over, 5 days after we came over, Chicago had its biggest snowstorm in 35 years. So you can imagine what that was like. In Ireland, this back road here would rarely see a snow. And in Ireland, a snow blower is something I've never seen a snow blower until I came to the United States. 5 days after we come to the States, the whole of Chicago is blanketed in snow. And if my marriage survived that, it'll survive anything. And touch wood, it has survived that. I'm blessed.
That's cool. And so, what were you doing in corporate when you first were the reason why you moved out here?
Yeah, I worked with a company called Best Foods. So it was food service. We were selling food and product into the restaurants, institutions, etc. And I was VP of marketing with them. I had started in Ireland and then they moved me over to the UK. So I managed the UK and Ireland. And then I got transferred over to the States. And one of my friends actually in Ireland, who actually worked for a competing company, but I was a good friend with him, when he heard I was being transferred from Ireland, UK over to the States, he said, "Ha, Connor, so you're going over to mess that place up now, are you?" He didn't use the word mess, by the way. Let me.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting because I'm more so like, how did you go from that to being like in public service? Like what you've been doing, the reason why you got the award from President Barack Obama. I can understand like that's a heck of a transition, especially like volunteer in a country that you're not from, which does take like a bit of pride. Usually people volunteer places where they're from and they're like, man, we have to do better. But you're in a totally different country. You're in Chicago, out of all one of the biggest cities in America, and something sparked in you and was like, you know what? I'm doing this work, but I want to be of service to people.
It was an unplanned journey in one sense. From a commercial point of view, I earn my dollars as a keynote speaker to improve people, performance, and productivity with a smile. But I do a lot of work helping people who are in job search. I never say I help people who are unemployed, Sherman, because there's a big difference. Job search is a mind game. And there's a big difference between saying you're unemployed and saying you're in job search. Job search means that you're active, proactive. Saying you're unemployed means you're a victim. And no matter how mad you are about the company that left you, you've got to realize that you're now doing another job, which is to find that well-paying job. How do I get into this volunteer work? I was with the Best Foods. We were taken over by another company, Unilever. After a few years, they wanted me to go back to Europe. And my daughter had just started in Wake Forest University down in North Carolina. And I didn't want to mess her life up again because I dragged her over here when she was in high school years. So I told Unilever to get stuffed. I didn't want to go back to Europe. They told me get stuffed. So we had a mutual stuffing. And we separated in good terms. And when they let me go, when I separated from them, I worked with an outplacement company, or they put me with an outplacement company for a while, an organization to help people who are in executives in job search. And I saw the pain and the frustration that a lot of people were having with job search. I wasn't having it because I decided I wanted to do my own thing. So I said to the outplacement company one day, look, I'll do a lunch and learn on how to stay motivated during this job transition process. Not really knowing what I was going to say. I had an idea what I was going to say, but it was coming from the heart as much as anything else. And it went so well that they asked me to do it again 2 weeks later and 2 weeks after that. And I realized that I was actually making an impact on people who are really struggling. And I don't know whether you've ever been in job search, Sherman, or had a dear PFO letter like from a possible recruiter, etc. And again, it is a soul destroying process for an awful lot of people. And I decided, I saw there was other organizations that were looking for volunteer speakers. So I started speaking to some of these groups after I'd left Unilever. I was also doing some speaking to corporate groups. And I realized this, a lot of the material that I was talking to job seekers about how to stay sane and motivated actually was very relevant for corporate as well. So the two of them blended very well and helped me to craft even better messages. And I got to say, to this day, I get more kick if someone connects with me on LinkedIn and says, Connor, thanks for all of your help. I landed a job in the last week. I'll get more kick from that than if I get a check from IBM or from Dell or from Google or something like that. The emotional satisfaction of just knowing that you've helped someone through a tough time is a powerful motivation to keep going doing what I'm doing in that sense.
And so is this a nonprofit type of thing, or
I don't get paid, I don't get asked for any money at all for it. I'll speak to any organization that there's an awful lot of community groups who provide job search support. Last Tuesday night, now we had a Zoom session. We had about 25 people on it who were in job search, and we were providing them with advice on how to stay sane, motivated, and productive. And basically, where am I now? I think 2 weeks' time, I'm doing another group, etc. And back in the day when things were bad in 2009, 2010, I'd go into a room, there'd be 125 people in the room, and none of them had any idea like what they were going to how they were going to find a job. So I'd basically provide them with basic ideas as to how to stay motivated. And one of the ways to stay motivated when you're struggling like that is to set yourself some really small micro goals. And if you can achieve that micro goal, you'll feel slightly better about yourself, and it'll motivate you to go after another micro goal to motivate yourself, etc. So concepts like that work with the job seeker, also work with the person in the big corporate environment as well. But it's just a passion of mine at this stage, and that's why I got the President's Gold Medal for volunteer service, which I'm genuinely really proud of getting that as an Irish immigrant.
Wow, and how did they basically gauge those metrics as far as what you've done for people? Do you get like public accolades or something like that?
I'm not sure exactly. Well, the organization that was doing a lot of the volunteer work, they nominated me for it, and I didn't even know I was getting it until I got it. And the gold medal is a piece of paper, by the way, or a tiny little button kind of thing as well. But it's just a nice way to appreciate, to feel to, that you are being appreciated. And one of the things, actually, that I would say is different, Ireland to the US. Ireland has got a very good, I don't want to get involved in politics now, but Ireland has got a socialized medical system, okay? The US obviously doesn't have that. And in Ireland, if you break a leg, you can go to the hospital and they won't bankrupt you to sort it out, etc. So there's a lot of government support for things. Here in the US, there obviously isn't as much government support for those kind of things. But what does happen here, though, I think, is the community effort in general is much more powerful than what I recall it was back in Ireland. So you go to any of the local community groups here, they've got volunteer services for people, either providing food banks or providing job search support or providing other kind of support for the organization. So the community service ethos, I think, in the States is something to be commended, and it is better than what I recall Ireland was. I don't know what else, can't say no after being out of it consistently for 25 years, but that's something that is very positive about the US environment, I think.
Yeah, philanthropy is a, I can't say philanthropy is a big thing in America. And it's also people are also incentivized for being philanthropists as well. So that's also a great thing. Like you get, not to say that should be a motivating factor, but it at least gives people recognition and acknowledgement for giving to people in need, as well as the tax breaks and things like that. And sometimes people will be like, you shouldn't do it for this, that, and the third. And I'm just like, hey man, as long as we're getting somebody to give something, that's what matters.
I agree with that, and but so much of the community work here, I think, isn't even based on getting a tax break or anything like that. It's just so many good organizations doing it. But you could also make the comment that the United States needs that community work because the level of government support isn't the same as what you get over in Europe.
Yeah, because if a lot of people weren't giving, a lot of things would be pretty much bad for people because a lot of public nonprofits and then public servants do use funding from all kind of resources to make things happen. Even we go as far as like scholarships for students. That comes from regular everyday people just donating.
That's true. Another interesting thing, difference between Ireland and the US, Europe and the US, university education, third level education is free in Ireland. Now, free is a bit of a kind of a misnomer because you do have to pay $2,000 or $3,000 of registration fees, etc., and then you gotta pay for the accommodations, that kind of thing. But the daft university fees or college fees that they have here in the US, they're just non-existent in Ireland and in the European Union in general. And Ireland would have one of the highest rates of its young population going through third level education in the world. It's got a really good education system, and people from Ireland, I think, are contributing an awful lot to organizations throughout the world, partly because of that education system that we have.
Oh, wait. Yeah, that's the thing about different countries. One of my friends was like, you gotta pick your poison when it comes to where you gotta go.
That's
I say
true,
our
yeah.
education level is pretty low to be a first world country, but hey, it is what it is.
Yeah, but I think it's Ireland. It's well worth your while getting over there, as some says. You will just be made feel so welcome. And the Guinness over there is absolutely wonderful as well, which is one of the things I miss here in the United States.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And so now you do comedy, right?
I do. Well, what I do is when I'm doing my keynotes, I tell good content, good research content, but I try to add humor and good storytelling in it as well. But also, what I do, Sherman, is I do open mic on a pretty regular basis, which means that I die on a pretty regular basis on stage, kind of thing. Comedy is different to humor, and I do not consider myself a comic. I do the open mic to try and hone my craft a little bit. But what I would say the difference between comedy and humor is that comedy, you got to come up with something that'll keep them laughing after 1 minute, after 2 minutes, after 3 minutes, after 4 minutes. I'm not really good enough to do that. Where I do is I will, in a 35 or 45-minute keynote, I will drop in five or six humorous anecdotes or lines in there that will get a very good laugh. I know how long they're going to laugh for. And depending on the audience, they laugh for much longer than other audiences. And what it does is it breaks up the monotony of just a kind of a boring message. Message isn't boring, hopefully, but it does break up the monotony. And one of the ways to make sure you keep your audience engaged is to have different pacing, different tone, different messaging, different ways of delivering the message within that 35 or 45 minutes.
Yeah, that's actually a good tactic. I had a interview that I did, and I inserted comedy in there just a bit. And so I was just thinking about, man, maybe I did too much. But then when I watched it again, I was like, oh, this was actually perfect. Like sometimes it's okay to laugh and have a different type of engagement with people. And the subject we were talking about, it was a movie that did have comedy in it. So I was just like, why not make it a little fun? And he wrote the script for the movie. So I was like, oh, okay. Now I can open up a little bit. But sometimes when I'm talking about some pretty dark things, I'm like, yeah, I don't think I could tap into that right now. Yeah. Because you see the range of my interviews, it's like all kinds of subjects and all kinds of things. So it's just like I just have to be pretty much well balanced. But yeah, I definitely could see that. But it also depends on the topic. But yeah.
It does depend on the topic. But here's one of the things I do believe. I've got a program called Adding Humor to Your Presentation. And one of the lines I use to sell it is that you don't have to be funny to be funny. And you're kind of
Right.
saying, what did he say? You don't have to be funny to be. No, you don't, honestly. Basically, what I suggest is people capture the humor around them. And if we just take one of the theories of humor, people laugh, adults laugh about 15 times a day or smile 15 times a day. Now you're probably saying, I haven't done that today. If you actually think about it, something has made you smile or put a grin on your face a few times already today, but you haven't captured it. And what I suggest to people is that if you capture the humor that you see today, you put it into your notepad or into your iPhone and just build up that repository of humorous quotes, anecdotes, quips, whatever it is. You don't know when you're going to use it, but you may well find time to use it. And that interview that you said you did, where you had a lot of humor in it, you made the interviewer laugh or the interviewee laugh. That is material that almost certainly you could use again in some other place. Because, for instance, if I'm a keynote speaker and I'm speaking, I was in Dallas last week, okay? So I told quite a few stories, humor stories that I've told in New York 2 weeks ago, kind of thing. And because I'm speaking to a different audience, let's say I'm in Vegas in a couple of weeks' time, I'm speaking there. I know I can use the humor that got them laughing in Dallas, the humor that got them laughing in New York, and I can do that in Vegas. It's a matter of just knowing what people's laugh, what makes people laugh, capture it. And then drop it in to the appropriate time and for the appropriate message.
Yeah, I could see that because some people might be like, you have to be slapstick comic. I know people that are considered very serious that insert comedy in their speeches and it's hilarious, but there's also different levels of it. I know a super militant speaker, and he'll throw some things in there and everybody will laugh and it's okay. But yeah. Then I do feel like some people just want to be perceived as just one thing. And if I loosen up a little bit, people won't take me serious, but that's usually like never the case. You actually connect with people more when you make them laugh. They end up liking you because you made them feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is critical. I talk about adding humor to your presentation so you can connect better with the audience. But it's the same in a business life as well. If you can put a smile on someone's face once a week that you're working with, they're going to appreciate you more. Yeah. If they put a smile on your face yesterday, you're quite likely to walk into the warehouse or into their office feeling better today because that person made me smile yesterday. So humor is really powerful. Mm-hmm. And most of the humor that we laugh at, Sherman, is not jokes. It's actually little anecdotes or quips or something that went wrong a few weeks ago that you're not worried about now, and you're telling someone the story and you're mm-hmm. laughing at it. And humor does help you to level the playing field as well with the people around you.
Yeah, definitely does. Yeah, that's actually a good thing. I could definitely appreciate that. Now I'm a little confused. What do you do? Is it because you volunteer, you help people with presentations? Is there like a main thing that you do, like a business consultant or something like that? Yeah.
Irishman Speaks. Oh, wrong side again, is it? Okay. Irishman Speaks the brand is Irishman Speaks. My mission as a keynote speaker and a business consultant is to improve people, performance and productivity with a smile. And essentially every organization wants to improve their people, their performance and their productivity. And when I can do it with a smile, it makes it even more powerful. So I speak a lot to corporate organizations, manufacturing entities, to nonprofits and healthcare to improve their people, their performance and their productivity with a smile. And I got involved with the healthcare groups. This is another example of kind of finding the silver lining. I've had two bouts of cancer over the years. Mm-hmm. And because of those cancers, I now can doors can open for me when I'm speaking to oncology nurses, healthcare groups, just in the nurse community in general, and also cancer survivorship groups. And there's mm-hmm. a pretty big market for, believe it or not, humorous motivational speaker oncology mm-hmm. here in this country. So I can do events. As I said, I was down in Dallas last week. I was speaking to Oncology Nurses Society down there. There's oncology nurses all around the country. I speak to them. I speak mm-hmm. to Nurses Week, cancer survivorship groups, etc. And when people hear that I position myself as one of my targets, as a humorous motivational speaker oncology, they say, "What? Who's going to be funny about cancer?" And I say, anyone who's gone through the pain of it wants to be lifted and wants to laugh. Mm-hmm. Nurses who are dealing with oncology patients every single day, and they've got a really stressful job, they want to laugh, but with good messaging at the same mm-hmm. time. So I motivate and I add humor as well.
That's amazing. I feel like that. It's probably something that you discover is your purpose that actually fulfills you more than probably anything you ever did.
Oh, I tell you, there's no better job than coming off stage, having connected with an audience. Last week when I was down in Dallas, I phoned my wife afterwards and I just an eye kind of thing. But a funny, I tell you what, this people ask me what was my favorite gig. My favorite gig, believe it or not, was speaking to an Amish community in Indiana. You're thinking, what? And I was, the Amish are obviously famous for their furniture ability and for their craftsmanship. And there's a community down in Shipshewana in Indiana where they have a large manufacturing area kind of thing. There's also an exhibition there once every year.
Mm-hmm.
So I was invited down to speak to them about the business topics. So I go down to Shipshewana and I come to the exhibition hall, which is a medium-sized one. And there's nothing but buggies and horses outside in the parking lot. Okay. I
Wow.
go in and I saw my presentation. I was doing a presentation. My core one is on the gift of gab, GAB, goals, attitude, behavior. Goals, attitude, behavior. And my wife had said to me before I left Chicago, Connor, be very careful. You've got to be very careful with this group. So I said, yeah, don't worry. I'm not going to use any profanities or anything. I was telling my stories to them, and I made sure they were spotless. I don't use profanity or anything in corporate, but you've got to be careful of nuances. I got to say, Sherman, the reaction from that group when I was telling humorous stories was mind-boggling. You would have your dads there with their Amish outfits on, their wives were there in the audience, and they'd bring in their kids. So you had mother and father, and there was four kids, like on each kid on each knee in the room, and it was just the reaction from them when I was telling a humorous story was it was just magical. And when I would expect a laugh from a story in, let's say, if I'm doing it in Vegas or in New York, when they laughed on there, the laughter just kept going and going. And I got off the stage, was driving back. I texted my wife and I said, this was the best gig I've ever done. She came back and she said, are you being serious? And I said, absolutely. So it's the when you connect with people in our job, the vibe is just mega.
And that's what I feel like that's what's more most important, especially for someone like me growing up in a capitalistic society. It's like our minds tend to be like whatever is best is the thing that makes you the most money. It's not like how you're working, what you're doing, how you're affecting people. It's if this makes money, this is the best thing. But then I remember like doing working with people, like say I had a teaching role for a brief moment, like a couple months. And I really enjoyed it because I got to connect with people and teach people like how to deal with certain situations. And I knew I was quite impactful because these people actually worked at the LAX airport, who I used to train, by the way. And I went to the airport and I seen a guy that was in my class, and he stopped me like, "Hey, man, all right, I had this situation. And I remember when you told me this, is that, and the third." And he was just like, "And man, I appreciate you because I actually took that into heart. And when this happened, I thought about what you taught me in class and just the effects of it." And I was just like, wow, you really never know how you can impact people. A lot of times it doesn't hit them at that very moment. And sometimes you will never know that it hit them at all. But it's just as long as you just keep putting it out there, just know that it's being someone's listening, it's being effective in its own kind of way.
Absolutely. I mean, I truly do believe that the phrase I use is emotional reinforcement. Emotional reinforcement has much longer impact on us as individuals than financial reinforcement and financial remuneration. It can make so much difference. And you've discovered that yourself in that situation. And at the end of the day, if I can just make one person feel better today, I think I've done a good job.
And that's a good way to look at it, man. Very good way to look at it. I love that. Because that's the way I feel with my brand. It's putting out different messages and different things that can actually help people. And some people hit me up sporadically sometimes. "Man, I love what you're doing. Keep going, man. You're very inspiring and you're really motivating." And me, I'm just like, "Man, I wish you guys could pay me, but hey, I'm gonna just keep going."
You've got a grind in the world behind you. Life is a grind. But what you've got, though, is you've been doing this consistently for a period of time now. You've had good guests on. You're a good interviewer and a good conversationalist. And that, the bottom line for this kind of an audience is what's absolutely critical. So you keep going at it, man, and it will happen for you. You mightn't get to Joe Rogan's level, but you'll get to some other higher level than where you are now and you'll be able to make those dollars.
And that's the plan because nothing happens immediately. I tell people as long as you have what it takes, just keep going and be consistent, and things will happen and things will unfold for you. Especially if you have the talent and people tell you that you have the talent and people are receiving you in a good kind of way, you know that more than likely it's going to happen. Say, I'm not trying to be a singer or anything like that. Nobody said, "Man, you should be a singer," but they are hitting me up and telling me like, "Man, keep going. I like it." And I definitely always keep that in mind because Me, I'm very big on vulnerability, and we have to be vulnerable with ourselves and with other people and let them know, like, yeah, sometimes it does get hard to keep going. But I just remember, I'm sure you had times where you were probably like, Irishman speaks, I'm not sure if I really want to do it, or oh, it's too this, or oh, it's too that. Everybody has those thoughts. But then it's just being willing to tell people, this is how I kept going. This is what I thought of when I had these doubts or I self-sabotage and things like that. Like, you have to basically go back to your why. Like, why are you doing it? And then just keep that in mind and keep going. But to act like you never doubted yourself or anything like that, I feel like people are, they have to be lying to some
Well,
some extent. Like,
have to be learning. Yeah, one of the things that I try to do, I'm lucky. I do have an ingrained positive attitude. There's no doubt about that. But I know I've got to keep working at it as well. And the question I often ask myself is, what do I want my attitude to be? So, for instance, let's say I'm pitching for a piece of business with a large corporation, and I think I've got it, and I don't get it. All right, I put down the phone, and I come out with a four-letter word. Which by the way is oops, by the way, okay, oops, all right, OPS, that's a four-letter word. But then I say to myself, all right, Connor, all right, what, you're frustrated and annoyed, you felt you should have got it, didn't get it. So I say, what do I want my attitude to be? What do I want my attitude to be? And if I'm frustrated and annoyed, if I ask the question, what do I want my attitude to be, I'm not going to say I want to be frustrated, I want to be annoyed. I say to myself, oh, I'll show those guys that they've made the wrong decision. I'm going to get another piece of business, et cetera. So actually, in a kind of a contrarian kind of way, when I get a negative from a client, it actually motivates me a bit more to go after the next call.
Yeah, and sometimes we do. I often tell people, sometimes you got to get in your own mind and manipulate yourself in some kind of way to keep going. You have to basically be your own co coach and use your higher self to coach yourself.
Absolutely. I said to you previously, job search is a mind game. Our whole business life and the way we present ourselves is a mind game. I actually have a concept, if we've got time to talk about it, which provides five micro goals to improve your mindset and also the mindset of the people that you're working with. It spells out the acronym CHAPS, CHAPS. And they're simple little micro goals that everyone can do on a daily basis that will help them and help the people that they work with as well. So I'll just give you the first one and you can see whether or not you want to go with the rest of them. But if I was to ask you a question, Sherman, when someone compliments you, do you feel better after the compliment? Okay, all right. So let's flip it. If you compliment someone, are they likely to feel better after you compliment them? Okay, all right. So what I basically say is that if you can treat, set yourself five micro goals that spell the acronym CHAPS. What happens when you achieve a micro goal? You feel slightly better about yourself because the dopamine is kicking in. Okay. So if you were to set yourself a micro goal, then in the next 24 hours, I will compliment one person, just one. What happens when you compliment that one person? You will hear yourself saying, hey, I've complimented that person. I've achieved my micro goal. The dopamine kicks in. I feel better about myself. But what about the person that you've complimented? They're feeling positive and upbeat and better about you as well, simply because you complimented them. So this simple micro goal of complimenting someone can have an impact on you and the person that you're complimenting. And that's the first element of the CHAPS concept that can really help people to have better employee engagement, better relationships at work and at home.
That makes sense. You keep going.
Yeah, okay. All right. So H in the CHAPS acronym is here. What did he say? He said here. Okay, here. I always talk to my imaginary self over there, by the way. There's no one there, but there's no one there. Oh. So here, the second micro goal, on the basis that when we achieve a micro goal, we feel better. Let's go for the second micro goal in the CHAPS acronym. And that is hear the words, thank you. Hear them. So almost certainly in the last 24 hours, someone has said thank you to you, Sherman, and you've over your head. It's just wallpaper. That's the way we are. But if I set myself a micro goal that I will deliberately do something to hear the words thank you from someone, What I've got to do is I've got to do something to help my coworker or neighbor or someone in the community. When I hear the words thank you from that person, I realize, A, I've achieved my micro goal. I feel better about myself. But the person you've done something for is also going to feel better about themselves. And
Right.
it's in a win situation. So you've
Right.
got to compliment. Hear the words thank you in the CHAPS acronym. A is for address. As I say when I'm speaking to groups, Sherman, I say, by address here, I don't mean that little pink chiffon outfit that I was seen wearing on Facebook over the weekend. That shouldn't have been published, okay? But by address here, I mean address your colleague or your customer or the vendor with their name when you're in conversation with them. And one of the most powerful ways to connect with people is through their name. The most powerful word in my conversation with you is Sherman. The most powerful word in your conversation with me is Connor. And when you actually can once or twice in a conversation use the person's name, you're going to connect better with them. And if you're in sales, for instance, or if you're at an interview, and if you go into that interview or sales call thinking about chaps. So let's say you compliment the person you're trying to sell the product to, say something positive about the company, the organization. You'll probably hear the words thank you from them for that. You address them with their name. You're well on the way to getting on the right side. We've got compliment. Hear the words thank you. Address people with their name. P is positive. And by positive here, we've all worked with Debbie Downer and our twin brother, Danny Downer, okay? People who just suck the energy out of a room. But we can also push energy into the room and push positivity into the room. And if you can get into the habit of just once or twice in a conversation using positive words, what's going to happen after a while is you're actually starting to lift the vibe around the place. And people are going to start saying positive words about the vibe that you create and about you as well. So the way I phrase this in my keynotes is that if you use positive words like amazing, brilliant, cheerful, delightful, energetic, friendly, Guinness is a powerful positive word to an Irish person, Sherman, you see, okay? After a while, what's going to happen is that people around you are going to start saying, hey, he or she is amazing, brilliant, cheerful, delightful, energetic, friendly. Let's go for a Guinness or whatever your brew of choice is because you use positive words. And the final one then in the CHAPS acronym. So you got compliment, hear the words thank you, address people with the name, positive words. And the final element of the CHAPS acronym is smile. And the idea here is that it's not necessarily for me or you to smile. The objective and the goal is to put a smile on someone's face. And when you put a smile on someone's face, what are you going to do? You're going to
Yeah,
smile
make
back.
them
Yeah.
happy. Yeah, more than likely,
So you're going to hear yourself putting or see yourself putting a smile in someone's face. The dopamine kicks in. When you smile, dopamine, serotonin, the other neurochemicals pop in as well. You're going to feel better as well. If people could take the CHAPS acronym into the workplace or into the community, we'd have a better workplace and we'd have a better community. And there would be far less hassle and tension and frustration in the workplace. I really believe in the power of CHAPS in employee engagement and creating a better workforce and better teamwork. So that's the CHAPS acronym from the Irishman Speaks.
Wow, that was beautiful and amazing. And I
Thank
could
you.
definitely implement the CHAPS acronym in my life somewhat, because especially positive, pushing positivity. That's definitely something, because a lot of times instead of pushing positivity, we respond with the negative that we feel in the room. But
Yeah.
instead, like when you push it, you basically are controlling the atmosphere and say, no, I want to lead with this. And I have met people that do that, but then it's just you could really be in control if you put, it's like forces basically battling against each other. But then it's like, who's going to win?
Yeah.
If you let the negativity win, then you're like at a loss. But then you could push your positivity to battle the negativity, then it could just basically just collapse. So Yeah, I actually I love that one.
And the thing is, it's a win situation. Each of the five chaps is going to, it helps me, but each five chaps helps the person that I'm dealing with or that you're dealing with as well.
Yeah.
And just a very simple one. It actually happened this morning. I think I was brought up reasonably well. So if someone is coming in behind me, I'll hold the door open for them, okay? And but this morning I just did it, and the person just said thank you. Now, my goal wasn't to get a thank you from them, but I'm so ingrained with trying to hear the word thank you right now that when she said thank you, it made me realize, hey, you've done something positive today. So it's these can be self-reinforcing. Now you got to work on them, but they can be self-reinforcing as well. And if you are the person that is known for the chaps activities in your workplace, people are going to appreciate you more. You're going to create a better work environment. And when you create a better work environment, you're going to go home in better form. When, by the way, using my marriage guidance counselor technique, married women, married men, people in relationships should use the CHAPS concept consistently. So
Definitely.
look at that. You've got a marriage counselor as well on the show.
Yeah. How long have you been married?
I've been married 43 years.
Oh yeah, you definitely have something to say then, for
Yeah,
sure.
indeed. Yeah.
Yeah, like marriages barely last 5 years. Yeah,
Yeah.
you
Yeah.
definitely have a story. Yeah.
I've been lucky. I was a child groom.
Oh, hey, that's a good thing because you actually
Yeah.
get to grow with somebody. And you guys could grow together instead of becoming adults and becoming your own person and then trying to mesh. I do feel like it's better for people to find love early on than later on, but that's a story for another time though.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But I'm blessed. I have been lucky over the years, so thankfully, touch wood, and keep going. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, and I'm not a Metallica fan, but one of my favorite rock songs is Enter the Sandman. That's actually one of my all-time favorites. So I just
Yeah.
want to let you know that. Yeah, I hear that, man. I go crazy. Like I love it, man. Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
You
and
know, the interesting thing about Metallica or other bands, and I speak to job seekers about this. When Metallica started out, there was no way they would have felt they would be going 30 years later, kind of thing. And yet they're still pretty popular. The Rolling Stones, like, are mind-boggling. Jagger and Keith Richards, like, are both 80 years of age or just around there, and they're able to keep going. So what I say to people is that you should never give up, is my feeling, kind of thing. And people,
Yeah.
a lot of my friends who are in corporate have retired, and they say, Connor, when are you going to retire? And I say, in my coffin, that'll be the
Right.
last gig I will do, kind of thing, because I just love what I'm doing. One of the people you had on a couple of weeks ago was talking about AI, and I just love learning about new stuff that I can then tell my audiences about as well. And things like AI just keep everyone on their toes. So my feeling in life is that keep doing what you're doing, Connor, and you can stop when you're at your wake.
Yeah, and that's actually how you stay alive is when you keep going. Like a lot of people die soon after retirement. So if you're not useful, then hey, why are you just taking up space? Get out of here.
Yeah.
That's how I feel like the world is working because I think they said after somebody retires, they
That's a
die.
question I ask people.
Hold on, what'd you say?
No, that's what I say to people when I hear they're retiring. I say, well, what are you doing after? And if someone says, I play a lot of golf, I say, you need to do more than that, man, kind of thing. I'm a
Right.
woman. And that's actually maybe where the volunteer area could come in for some of these people as well. But it's true, if you don't keep the brain active, I think the body packs in after a while as well.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So, Connor, where can people find you?
They can find me at Irishman Speaks. Oops, wrong one again. All right. I love doing that. The brand is Irishman Speaks. The Twitter handle, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube is Irishman Speaks as well, all one word. And if anyone wants to connect with me, I'd love to talk with them and show how I can improve their people, performance, and productivity with a smile.
Okay, is it irishmanspeaks.com?
Irishmanspeaks.com. Yeah, all one word,
Okay.
irishmanspeaks.com.
All right, great. Yeah, that's pretty simple. Everybody knows how to spell Irish. Yeah,
Yeah.
cool, man. Hey, Connor, thank you so much for joining us. This has been a great, insightful conversation. I definitely got some takeaways from it, and I'm sure whoever's listening will have some takeaways as well.
I do appreciate it. And you keep on going with that grind, man. It will happen for you. Believe
Oh,
me.
thank you. Thank
Yeah.
you. All
See
right.
ya. Take care. Cheers.
Cheers.
Bye.